Good morning and welcome to this episode of the iDrop Podcast. Taking our spin through the world of college baseball. Today we stop with the head coach of the Regis Rangers, Willa Cone. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Now, you are a Las Vegas native, and a lot of people who may not have a deep understanding of Vegas baseball is they have a long history going back to Greg Maddin, Greg Maddux, all the way through Bryce Harper. Explain what people don't really quite grasp about playing baseball in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I can say is it is a very competitive town. Growing up there, I think we had 36 high schools. And then in the state of Nevada, if you think about it, for college, just opportunities for the high school student or for the high school athlete, you just had UNLV, Nevada, CSN, and then Western Nevada was around when I was in high school, but they're no longer a junior college. And so I think just growing up in Vegas, in-state opportunities, post high school were very limited. And so you had to go out of state, but I think Arizona had a pool of Phoenix kids that they can pull from, and California likes to get California kids. And so I think the biggest thing just growing up in Vegas and just the baseball, I think it's very competitive. And I think there's a lot of good players in that area. We have great weather year round, so kids are able to be outside 12 months out of the year. And I just think the opportunity was limited, which just I think pushed the baseball competitiveness in that town that, you had to be really good if you wanted to move on and play at the next level.
When did you know that baseball would be your calling?
From a very young age, my dad is huge fan of baseball, and he coached my brother and I growing up, and he coached a lot of youth baseball for a long time and had a huge passion for it and got my brother and I into it at a very young age. We played T-ball when we were 3 or 4 years old, and just kind of grew to have a great passion for it. And I have an older brother who's 3 years older than me and got to follow in his footsteps growing up. And, when you got an older role model and mentor just to follow, I think as a younger brother, you kind of develop the same passions as your older brother does. And so just growing up, had a huge passion for the game and just loved everything about it. And I think being around really good coaches growing up all through youth, as well as high school and college, just had a huge passion for the game. And as well as I come from a family of educators and teachers and coaches. And so I think just teaching and coaching was in my background and just something that I wanted to do. And initially, when I was going into college, I wanted to be a high school math teacher and a high school baseball coach. And it just worked out post college that I had a graduate assistant opportunity here at Regis. And so I've just been coaching at the college ranks ever since.
What was it when you left Mesa Community that you wanted to go to play ball at Regis? What was it about the school, the campus, or the program that drew you in?
We had a family friend of ours growing up that actually went to school at Regis that we were close with. And so I had a decent idea of the academics here. Also, my brother played at CSU Pueblo, and so I had a decent familiarity and idea of the RMAC, the conference itself, the schools here. The biggest thing for me coming out of Mesa Community College is I wanted to go to a good academic school. I wanted to get a great degree. That was important to me. It was important to my family. I put a lot of time and effort into my academics, growing up in high school and in college, and so I just wanted to find a school that was going to be a really good academic fit, which Regis was the place. I thought Denver was a great city. And then also on the baseball side of it was just a great opportunity for me to come in and play right away, get great experience. And just it was an overall the best fit for me at the time coming out of Mesa Community College.
Now, when you look at the RMAC, it is competitive, but one good thing is that you only probably have to travel out of state to play a divisional team once. What does that say to the rivalries between the Colorado schools, and how strong is that competition?
Yeah, I mean, first on the travel schedule, it's really nice. We're very fortunate that we have three other in-conference teams that are less than 20 minutes from our campus. And it just helps our kids out a ton just with balancing the academics and the baseball side of it. But then in terms of competitiveness, kind of goes back to the point I was saying growing up in Vegas. I think there's two sides of it. Now, being on the recruiting side of it, on the college side, there's eight schools in our conference from the state of Colorado, and we're all fighting for the same caliber player in state in Colorado and trying to get those players here. And then also too, I think our conference is very competitive. Every year I've been here, I think the level of competition has increased. I think the players have gotten better. I think the RMAC, just overall level of talent, is better than when I played here. And I think that's a positive sign just for our conference, for the state of Colorado, and just our programs in general in the RMAC.
You spoke of recruiting. Now, being from Vegas, and like you said, it has a bunch of high schools and they only have a few college options. Do you find that there is so much of a wealth of talent, just not in just in Vegas, but in a few of those mountain states where people may not always look for baseball players?
Yes. I mean, I would agree wholeheartedly. I think there's good players everywhere across the country, and you got to find them. I think the best part about Colorado players that I've come to find out is a lot of them have not reached their potential yet. We've had many, many Colorado players in our program who have grown tremendously at the college level, and even not just our program, but other programs as well that we've seen kids in high school. And they get to college and just playing at this level, a little bit more, some more years under their belt. I think the Colorado kid hasn't reached their peak, and there's a lot of development and growth still available for them. And not just in the state of Colorado, but I've seen players from Wyoming, Montana, just from the colder northern states. I just think in high school, just in general, they just get the experience mainly in the summer and late spring. And so they haven't maybe played as much baseball as the warmer weather states. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or they're behind. I just think that you can really find a hidden gem in these states, and the fact that you can find kids that by the time you get them in college, you get them in your system, you get them in your program, they could be a totally new player in their second or third year with you.
Now, when you since you have been around the baseball world for the longest time, as a head coach now, can you look at not just your player but an opposing player as they take that stride to the plate or the mound? Can you tell if the confidence is there, or does it take you a little bit to kind of process it?
I think when you're evaluating and recruiting, you can see with body language and just their actions who's confident when they're playing and performing. You can also tell a lot about a kid by how they handle and deal with failure. But that's not the end all be all. I think a big thing with student athletes is, I think that's something you can coach and teach, and you can help develop as well. And, I think the mental game has just been huge for a lot of student athletes and just young men. When you're in high school, you're 14 to 18 years old, there's still a lot of development and growth happening in your life. And still the same thing with 18 to 22 year olds. And so, yes, you can evaluate the confidence side of things when they're performing, but I also think it's something you can develop. And trying to find the reason why maybe some players aren't confident, and how can you develop that, and how can you help them to believe in themselves and believe that they're capable of doing it. And also too, like in college, I think a lot of players are different players by the time they're juniors and seniors, by the time than when they were freshmen when they first came in here. And with that growth and maturity, confidence develops as well.
Now, when we come back for break, I'll discuss some of your coaching philosophy and get a look at a couple of your players now being off to such a good start at 12-10. But that's after break. You're listening to the Ad Drop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Ad Drop podcast. Terrence Biggs, the head coach of the Regis University Rangers, will come coach. Now, when we look at philosophies, they change with time. They evolve. They switch. How has your coaching philosophy changed over time?
Oh, that's a great question. I just think with the experience, you learn what you truly think works and what doesn't. And you kind of, it's a filtering system. You over time, if it's something that's worked year in and year out, that's something you're going to keep in your coach or in your system, in your philosophy. If it's something that's kind of been shaky and inconsistent and working and developing your players and making your program better, you're probably going to filter it out and find a new way. I think the coaching philosophy has to change Year in and year out, because you get different kids. And I think the world's changing, the kids are changing. And that's nothing against the kids that you're getting in your program. I just think coaches are going to have to adapt and you're going to have to grow. And the game is changing and evolving as well. And so, specific ways on how my coaching philosophy has changed. I mean, I think the biggest thing is understanding that everybody's timeline is different and the process. You have to be patient with the process. You know, I think coaches really want their players to be good now, and I know the players want it too, but sometimes I think there's lessons in life and the game of baseball have to teach them those lessons and not necessarily your coach. And so, for example, like I think there's players that have to experience failure in games in order to grow and adapt and get better versus you can't just coach that out of them in practice and expect and demand them to be great right away in a game. And I think baseball is a hard game in itself. And I think those life failures, those game failures that the kids go through, I think those are the when the biggest growth comes from. And so maybe that's something that I've kind of adapted and changed it with. I think when you're a young head coach, you want immediate success and you want your players to be good right away. And I think just one of the things I've adapted with is just understanding there's a process to it. You got to be a little bit more patient and things will work itself out.
One of the things I've noticed about this year's incarnation of the Rangers is that the run game is definitely alive. Is it more of a matter of circumstance that the runners take off, or is this a planned thing, or just a little bit of, you know what, the right time at the right moment?
You know, it goes a little bit into just our philosophy offensively. We're big believers in trying to apply pressure and be as complete of an offense as we can. We try to recruit athletic players who can run in our program, who can also defend, and that's important to us. And I think we have an athletic position player group. A lot of our guys run pretty well. And so we just try to use the run game to our advantage. And if there's any opportunity that the opposing team gives us that we feel that we can take the next bag, we're going to take advantage of it. And regardless if we do steal or don't steal, I think we've developed a at least I'm not saying a fear factor, but I would say that the opponent pitchers and opponent teams know that we like to run. And if that's in the back of the pitcher's mind, the catcher's mind, the pitch calling, you know, there's probably more pitches being called for fastballs to control the running game. And there's things like that. And so just by having a running game, I think it's giving our hitters a better opportunity to get more pitches to hit.
Another thing I noticed is that, kind of along the lines of the run game, the fact that your team definitely draws an inordinate amount of walks. Prime example, Vinny Lagata has 20 walks but 19 strike. Like his walks to strikeouts are actually inverted, which is a rarity. Speaking of Vinny, where have you seen him as far as first game until now with the constant improvement? And are you shocked that he's been able to put bat to ball so frequently?
No, I think when we recruited Vinny in here, we thought he was going to be a really good player for us. Unfortunately, he was battling through some injuries in the fall, so we didn't really get to see him fully, kind of full go in the fall. But when he came back this spring, he was ready to go, and he had to earn a starting spot. He wasn't starting to start off the year. He got a pinch hit opportunity, got a base hit, and then he got a start, and then he went 2 for 3, and then he's just ran with that spot ever since. And so we have a lot of confidence in him. I think he's a really good player. I think he's a very competitive player, and he's just a good all-around baseball player. And we're excited to have him in our program. And to the point you were saying on the walks, the strikeout ratio, I think we have a handful of players in our program that have more walks than strikeouts. And we just have put a big emphasis this year on strike zone discipline and just making sure our guys know the strike zone really well. And one thing we can control is the pitches we swing at. And so we want to make sure that our guys are only swinging at strikes and we're not chasing. And then also that we're really tough with 2 strikes and that we're not going to go down easy. And I think that's attributed to the walk or the amount of walks we've had as a program.
Now, speaking of pitching, you have a lefty in Ryan Garcia who, just as a freshman, comes in. First, he's a bigger kid. Second of all, he has a resilient arm. When you see somebody that you can spot start, but also come out of the pen, especially as play like Ryan, what does that add to the team as far as being able to slot him in different positions?
Ryan has been tremendous for us this year so far. It's great to have. I mean, we didn't expect it as good of a year so far that we're having out of Ryan. He's just, when he's taking the ball, he's throwing three pitches for strikes. And the biggest thing with Ryan that we really appreciate or has been just tremendous is his maturity. You know, I think he has the maturity of a senior as a freshman. He's never, we haven't seen any bad body language. He hasn't shown that he's been fazed on the mound when he's been hit hard at times. He's even keeled. He's the same guy pitch to pitch, and he's just trying to execute pitches, and he's keeping the game really simple on the mound. And it's been really nice to see, and he's had some success so far, and it's just been huge just to have that production out of a freshman arm.
Now, when you're not on the field or in the office, how do you get away from the game?
That's a great question. I like to work a lot, so I don't know how much I get away from the game. I think the biggest thing I like to do when I am away from the field is just spend time with my wife. I think that's important just to have that balance. And that's the biggest thing I do. We have a dog and we live 20 minutes from campus. We like to just hang out and spend some quality time with her. That's the biggest thing I do when I'm away from the game.
Regis University Rangers head baseball coach Drew Lacombe, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.